Welcome to the daily VFN radio program highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I don't know if you know this or not. I gotta tell you about this. You know, when I was in law enforcement, what happens with sheriffs? You know, you have new bosses all the time. You know, your boss may be there because he or she's an elected official, mm-hmm. selected by the community who they want to be their sheriff. He's mm-hmm. a constitutional officer, and so you work for this particular sheriff that deputizes you. And I was asked when I was a deputy, I said, you know, would you support so-and-so or something? And I supported, you know, a particular candidate who didn't win. And I liked them all. Man, they were all good people. But, you know, you're an American. You can, just, I guess, support who you want to. Mm-hmm. But seeing that I didn't win, I got motivated. I got therapy afterwards. And they assigned me. They gave me a new assignment. Oh. They wanted to reward me because... I didn't support the right one, I guess. And they rewarded me by sending me to a school resource officer's position called ESEAL. It's called ESEAL, E-S-E-A-L. And they wanted me to be a school resource officer there. I thought, well, wow. That's not, I thought it would be worse than that. It's not right. bad. And then I found out what it stood for. It stood for the Expanded Special Education Agricultural Laboratory. It was a laboratory for children. It was a laboratory for children who have come to the very end of the whole school system, and they were trying to hold on to them to the last little bit to have teachers who would work with them and give them the last chance of hope. I personally believe there's some of that where they were really trying to hold on to funding as much as they were at the kid, you know, but the system ties our hands. They don't let us do a lot of stuff. My empathy goes out for teachers. For that, and so here I'm a police officer on this expanded special agricultural laboratory, agricultural laboratory, and it's like this whole sod farm type thing with plants and everything, and great teachers out there, you know, and just it was real neat, real good environment, really for guys to learn because it was mm-hmm. a touchy feely type thing, and I said, man, I just know what these guys need. These girls and guys, they just need, you know, somebody to love on them. They just need a father's touch. They just need somebody to bless them and to speak into their life. And, you know, I committed, man. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm going to go out there and I am not going to write any of these kids up. I'm going to talk with them. I'm going to be patient and I'm going to have this empathy thing going on. I'm totally going to, you know, I understand their plight. I understand where they're coming from. You know, and I was not going to write anybody up like the teachers do, right?
Right.
And so it was my first week there. And one of the kids, you know, made a machine gun out of rubber bands. It's some sort of device that would shoot like 100 rubber bands at one time to one person. Which the user of the gun didn't mind it, but it was the recipient of the rubber bands who minded it.
Right.
And so I bring him into my office, you know, and he has it in his grocery bag. And, you know, I'm talking to him. I said, well, you know, you need to hand me the gun. No. I'm like, well, you need to hand me the gun. And he said, no. It's like, don't you understand my theory? I'm going to take the thing, and we're going to talk, and it's all going to be pizza king and better, right? And I fought three or four times, and he was just dogmatic. No! Mm-hmm. Of course, I snatched the thing out of his hand, threw it on my desk, and I was cranking out my first week. I was writing him up. He made a machine gun! And so then I said, you know, I'm going to meet with your mother. I'm going to meet with your mother because you didn't have a father. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to meet with your mother, and we're going to have a talk. We're going to have a talk, you know? And so then I touched base with his mother. And I'm talking to his mother. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, this kid's doing good. He was more functional than his mother. She was on the streets all that week in drugs and everything else. There was nobody in the household. He showed up at school. That was huge.
Right.
You know, I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. And my whole perspective just flipped and realized he's the leader. He's having to make these decisions himself. And so I looked at him, you know, after all that, and I just looked at him and said, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. That's all. Over and again, I'm sorry because I didn't. I was trying to figure out, this is bad, you know, and this is the state of our present society. This is what's happening over and over again. You know, 70% of African-American children are born out of in a fatherless home. Mm-hmm. 50% of marriages end in divorce, and primarily that means the father is going to be out of their life at that point. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's 25, probably now about 30 million, but we know 25 million fatherless children in America. That 46%, I believe this is, you can verify these stats on the VFN TV blog, but 46% of fathers see their children once or twice during the first 2 years and then never again. Mm-hmm. But the reason why is, quite often, statistics say, it's because the mother of the child makes it financially and geographically impossible for him to do that because she wants to him out of their life now. Right. And so she just creates this whole financial turmoil. Not all cases, but that's what I'm just telling you what the statistics said.
Right.
And we worked with these guys for a long time. And so, man, I just really thought, that, you know, if you just patiently talk to these kids and you just, you know, work with them and that, you know, things were going to turn around. And of course, in a school environment, it's really tough to be able to do anything, you know, effectively, but you can do things, but they tie your hands so much. And so, but I did love on them, you know, we continued to move on and had a good relationship. But then I remember one of the kids out of all the kids there, one of the kids, I see him down the road and I'm ministering somewhere and, he comes running to me and he's just, you know, happy. Oh, and he's going, you know, you got me. I got, you know, he helped him get jobs. I was helping him get jobs and trying to function in society back then. And I got him the Hooked on Phonics program and got the Fraternal Order of Police, purchased that for them out there and just did some things. And no matter where they sent me, God always blessed me.
Yeah, no.
It's like, what did you get in press out there for? And he comes running to me and tells me about his wife and his children and how thankful he was that I helped him, you know, get that job. And now that he was serving the Lord. And I thought, oh, my goodness, it's so worth it. It is so worth it, you know. But, you know, that's when God began to really sow in my heart that this is a fatherless nation. This is a fatherless nation, you know. We're sitting on Glenn Beck's show. You know, John and I were sitting on his last week up in New York. And he's asking all these college students, he's setting them up. They didn't know Glenn. He was setting them up. You're answering these questions. He's gonna put drop down on you. And he's talking to him. He said, "Why are you spending $100,000 in education for a job you don't even know exists? You know, for a chance you wouldn't buy a house that you haven't seen yet for $100,000. Just take my word for it. You want to go see the house, and you need to actually find what you're going to be doing, and find, and then educate towards that. And so." And then he's saying, why would you do that? And I'm raising my hand, man. I'm like, oh, here I am, man. I got your answer. And John starts pulling on my shirt. Dude, they're going to throw us out. They're going to throw us out. Because only like three rows of people and stuff, right. You know. And had all these young college kids, these two old men in the back, you know. They probably see me better than the, you know. Anyway, the, and so I didn't ask. This is what I was going to say. Now I can say it. The reason why they're paying $100,000 for their education, and the reason why the parents are willing to pay $100,000 for education is because neither one of them want the father-son relationship. They're not willing. They'd rather pay for what you can only really truly get through a spiritual parent or a parent-child relationship that's rightly functioning. And they'd rather pay $100,000 than to deal with that kid. And the kid would rather pay $100,000 rather than to deal with that parent. And the enemy so destroyed that. And so now you got 4 years, 6 years of debt. Wouldn't it have been better to find somebody that God put in your life that could father you and mother you and give you that you needed instead of having to pay all that money? And you can't get relationship from a college. You can't get function. You can't get integrity. You can't get character from a college. You can get knowledge. And as we say often, you know, knowledge without wisdom, the only person who doesn't know that is the person who has no wisdom but lots of knowledge, but everybody else knows it. And so I didn't get a chance to make that. But the thing is, that's the reason why. Because it takes a huge investment for a parent to walk that out with that kid. Even a spiritual parent with a spiritual son or daughter, and the same thing with a natural parent and a natural child, and both of them have to be willing to do that. Mm-hmm. And they're willing to go forego all of God's order and try to get it some other twisted way. And you just can't get it. Look what's happened in America. You can't skip God's order. God's got an order. His order is father-son order. It's been since the beginning of time, and it still is today. And part of repentance of the church is us getting back into God's order. When you think about it, it was the Father who sent his son Jesus, who did everything that he learned and heard of the Father. He imitated the Father. You know, Paul talks about it. He says, you have 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers, for I'm your Father in Christ Jesus. Imitate me. You know, and so Paul was living a life that he was willing to tell those in the church that he was a spiritual father to, you know, a father in the Lord, if you would. And he said, just imitate me. People are like, I don't want nobody imitating me. Well, there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that, that you need to live a life. Doesn't mean everybody will. But that's part of the repentance that we have to go. And that plight of that young man in that school, you know, and a lot of young men and women today, and now older men and women today, is the fact that they don't have a father in their life. And, you know, everybody's got a father. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how you got here.
Yeah.
You know, even if it was in a lab, there was a father somewhere in there. Even if your mother doesn't even bring him up, there was a father in your life. And but there's at least a male contributor. And understand that, but that God is a father to the fatherless, and that he says before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes in Malachi 4, 5, and 6, that he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, or else he'll smite the earth with a curse. We know personally, I'm fully convinced that this earth is about to shake, but I know, I really am fully convinced that if we respond to the first part of that word, we turn our hearts, then it won't happen.
Right.
At least to the extent that it could happen. And so if you want to find out more about that, you can find out more about that at the VFN TV as a VFN TV subscriber. Or actually, it's not even more, it's just totally out there for everybody. It's called The Elijah Storm. You're talking about, you know, end times and what's taking place. But yeah, I totally knew that I was not going to write anybody up. And it was the first week, Pat. The first week I wrote them up, and you know, by the time that we all finish, I'm ripping that puppy up thinking, whoa, my goodness, I'm just proud that you're here, you know, that you caught the bus, that you halfway put your clothes on. You know, they're not that good at it all the time. And but I was totally amazing. It's called the Expanded Special Agricultural Laboratory, and it's closed down today.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or through the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone. That's VFNTV.com.